Ignition, Chapter 8, Stage 7, Acquiring Customers. Most people think that getting traffic, marketing terminology for website visitors, is the holy grail of making a huge profit online. Beginners often think, if only I could get 1 million visitors, then I'd be rich. But the truth is, you can find places that sell a service like that right now for $3. Just know that it would all be people who have no idea how they ended up on your site, with no results to come from it. In reality, you can get traffic on tap from any advertising network, anytime. So the holy grail isn't about the quantity of traffic, but instead about the quality, i.e. attracting the right types of people for your offer and also making sure your profit process resonates well enough with people to make a positive return on any traffic costs and or other investments. But with that said, before we start with any kind of traffic strategy, you still need to be attracting the right people at the right time of their journey to the right web page for the right offer. So, how do you get traffic? Traffic is generated when somebody is interested enough to visit your website. For this to happen, this means traffic generation is simply a process of putting your message in front of people. However, we've already established that quality is better than quantity, so hopefully you should be putting your message in front of the right people who would actually be interested in what you have to offer. So, we need to find out where your ideal prospects hang out, then see if we can advertise there. That's traffic generation 101. Know that this doesn't involve using some magic software to generate a flood of traffic on demand. Traffic is not created from thin air, but instead as a result of putting a compelling message in front of the right people, so they click it to visit your website and find out more about what you have to offer them. But before we can do this, we need to talk about something important that can make or break your advertising: the three major levels of market awareness. Traffic quality can be further defined by the level of desire and buying intent. The more desire for a solution, i.e. they truly want a problem fixed, and intent to buy, i.e. they're willing to actually follow through on that desire by buying something that your prospects have, the more sales you will make. Here's that last paragraph again slowly, because it's important. The more desire for a solution and intent to buy your prospects have, the more sales you will make. Once you understand this varying scale of traffic quality, you'll realize that traffic generation is no longer about getting as many people to your paid offer as possible, regardless of quality, but instead about converting the highest quality prospects possible from people who know nothing about you and your solution into people who are ready to buy a solution based on your recommendation. However, some audiences will require less persuading than others. Different niches and audiences will have different levels of awareness or maturity about their problems and solutions available to them. An example of a highly aware or mature niche would be the weight loss niche. People interested in weight loss are aware of the problem, e.g., I'm unhappy with my body image and something needs to be done to fix it. So, they don't need to be educated about their issues because they already know. Educating them about something they already know is not compelling to them, as it creates the "I already know this" mental opt-out. Plus, they already know there are tons of weight loss solutions out there, so selling something that simply promises they'll quote-unquote lose weight won't be compelling to them either, as they've heard it before. So, in this niche, you'll need to position your marketing in a way that assumes they already know they need help, and also in a way that shows your offer as being different from your competitors' offers in some way, covered earlier in this book when creating your products. whereas an example of a niche with a low level of maturity would be when cryptocurrency was first created. People didn't have a clue what it was, how it worked, and there definitely weren't any how-to type products created around how to profit from it. But soon enough, smart marketers took advantage of this new niche and created courses around it. Suddenly, these marketers didn't need to position their new products as unique in any kind of way because there weren't many other products like it. They simply had to inform the marketplace of the product, and that was enough for most people to make a buying decision, as people didn't have any other buying options available to them. Eventually, the niche was filled with more and more marketers selling more and more products, so it ascended to a high level of maturity pretty quickly. In short, a prospect with a more mature niche requires more persuading and nurturing because they are more skeptical of the solution due to their previous purchases or other options available to them, i.e., I've already tried this and it didn't work for me. How is your product different to his? And so on. In other words, a more mature niche means more skepticism, which means more persuading through a longer sales process, whereas a prospect within a less mature niche requires less persuading because there are less buying objections created from previous purchases and a lack of other options available to them, i.e. they have no choice but to buy your product if they want a solution. Obviously, the less mature niches don't stay like this for long, so you'll usually be working with a niche that is aware of their problem, but is either A, unaware of a solution, requires only a little selling and nurturing, B, aware of solutions, requiring a moderate amount of selling and nurturing, or C, jaded from trying many solutions and nothing working for them, requires a lot of selling and nurturing. You can figure out which group your chosen niches fall into just by looking at your successful competitors' products and their sales processes. But nowadays, for most markets, you're looking at your niche being in option C. This is because most people have either failed before or are overwhelmed with the amount of solutions available to them. We all know marketers love using pyramids to explain concepts, so imagine an upside-down pyramid to illustrate my point. At the top of the inverted pyramid, we have the largest audience within the market, jaded people. Below that, we have a smaller audience of people who are aware of the solution. And finally, at the bottom, we have the smallest segment of people who are unaware of a solution. This means the job of your marketing is often to persuade jaded prospects to make a purchase using logical and emotional evidence that matches their specific situation. Fortunately, this nurturing process doesn't take long. It can often happen in as few as 2 to 3 interactions with your advertising and subsequent marketing. So, if you've tried making sales online before but failed spectacularly, it was probably because your advertisements weren't overcoming their skepticism and generating enough desire for your solution, and you as their chosen person to learn from beforehand. This is especially true with higher priced products and services. Think of it this way: by sending people from a tiny advertisement straight to an affiliate offer sales page, it's the equivalent of going into a gym and shouting, "Who wants to get huge muscles?" at the top of your voice. Eventually, you're going to get one or two people come to you out of desperation, but there's not exactly going to be a stampede of people rushing to buy stuff from you. Another commonly used example is asking someone to marry you on your first date. There's no relationship, no trust factor, nor any kind of concrete desire there. So, we need to develop that through your advertising and subsequent marketing. The advertising is the initial introduction, and your marketing is everything after that. We've already established that a follow-up sequence is the most effective way to scoop up these fence sitters into your realm of influence, so you can persuade them to buy more from you. So fortunately, you already have that in place. Now you know the basics of what traffic generation involves, i.e. putting a message in front of your ideal prospects to generate a desire for them to check out your website, and adjusting your advertising message to match your niche's current level of market awareness, let's go into the most effective methods of driving traffic. Most traffic methods can be broken down into two groups: free and paid. I should probably come up with a fancy name for these groups, but it is what it is. Free traffic is usually people's first go-to because, well, it's free. However, the issue with free traffic methods is that they take a lot of effort to implement and a long time to start seeing any kind of results. For example, one of the most effective free traffic strategies is content marketing. This involves writing blog posts or creating videos for either your own website, social media channels, or other people's websites as a guest author, then getting them shared around the internet due to the massive value the content provides to people. However, this can be tough to do because it takes around 2 to 5 hours to create a highly valuable blog post or video, depending on the desired length of the content. But then you have to find a popular website that will accept your content and share it with their subscribers. But if you're lucky enough to do all that, their subscribers will click the links to your website where referenced within the content and/or at the end of it, then check out what you have to offer. Another free traffic method involves finding popular forums within your niche, creating a profile, and adding a link to your website in the signature section of that profile, then replying to people's posts with valuable advice. When your reply appears in the forum, your signature appears below it, containing a link back to your website. So, if people like your reply and find it valuable, they'll often click your link in your signature to learn more from you. But again, this method isn't perfect because it takes a very long time to build up the amount of posts you have in the forum, and therefore an even longer time to get any kind of noticeable traffic from this method. A variation of this method is infiltrating groups on social media sites, such as Facebook groups. Simply provide as much value as possible, then provide recommendations to learn more about your topic at your website where relevant. But again, this is very time-consuming and not that scalable. Another quote-unquote free traffic method is search engine optimization, i.e. getting ranked higher in the search results for the phrases your ideal prospects search for in search engines, although people usually focus on Google and Bing. I say it's a free traffic method, in quotes, because it's actually pseudo-free and takes a very long time to achieve sustainable rankings in the search results. This is because you can either spend hours and hours building up backlinks to your website in the right places without getting some kind of slap from the search engines, or do what most people do and hire an SEO expert to do the work for you. If you're hiring someone, then you may as well just be paying for the traffic directly instead of hoping someone else is going to get you some kind of tangible results. And that's if the search engines don't change their rules again in a few months after doing all of your hard work. I don't know about you, but personally, I don't like the idea of spending hours of hard work on something with the hope of some level of traffic coming in. Not to mention that these methods aren't easily scaled, i.e. going from a small amount of traffic to a large amount, and you aren't really in control of your results. Don't get me wrong, a lot of online companies have become successful by driving traffic through content marketing, SEO, and other methods, but they'll happily tell you how much work was involved to achieve that. In other words, you're essentially trading your sweat equity for traffic. So, because I like to keep the hard work to a minimum and instead focus on building a mostly automated business that gives me a better lifestyle, I personally prefer paid traffic methods, as this allows you to be in direct control of how much traffic you receive with just 10 minutes of work. You can literally click a few buttons to create an advertising campaign and start getting as much traffic as you want within an hour. And if the price of getting traffic is a concern for you, consider this. Most marketers often complain about high or rising traffic costs. However, if your traffic is costing you a seemingly high amount of $3 per click or visitor, but your profit process is fine-tuned enough to convert those visitors into paying customers to the equivalent of $5 per click or visitor, then the last time I checked, $5 minus $3 is $2. So, you therefore have a $2 profit per click or visitor and have nothing to worry about. It's all relative. Paid traffic isn't about throwing money into some big black hole and hoping for good results. It's all measured so precisely that you can engineer a positive return on your advertising spend. This mindset is the difference between having a hobby business and a wildly successful business. People who are scared to learn how to make paid traffic work for them will fall back to free traffic methods that only provide a trickle of traffic here and there, making sales unpredictably, resulting in the business being a hobby. And a hobby business will provide a hobby income. And funnily enough, these people won't hesitate to spend an extra $3,000 on more courses and training programs, but spending money on traffic is, quote unquote, too expensive for them. Whereas the entrepreneurs who aren't scared of a challenge to change their entire life for the better will master paid traffic within a week or two, then have the skills to generate a profit on demand at any scale, whether it's 4 figures per month, 5 figures per month, and beyond. So, I'll leave that decision up to you. However, I can say with 100% certainty that if I had never learned how to use paid traffic, my business would still be sitting at around $1,000 or so per month right now, instead of at around $50,000 to $70,000 per month like it is now. Ready? Paid traffic is all about finding a company that has an existing audience and paying them money to put your message in front of them. Then, to make a positive return from that investment, you need to create an ad that resonates with your audience, and that ad needs to be shown in the right place to reach the right people. People who don't think about these things usually end up losing money, then end up complaining on a forum somewhere that paid traffic doesn't work for them. There are a few ways you can do this. The first way is to find marketers who already have a responsive email list in your niche, then ask them if they'd be open to sending an email promoting your offer to their subscribers. This email is known as a solo ad, as it should be the only advertisement in that email, compared to having lots of other focuses within the email. These solo ads are easier to come by in some niches over others, but this works with any niche that contains digital products being sold. After all, if they have a customer base acquired from purchases of their product, they also have an email list for those customers that you can pay to be put in front of. For example, the internet marketing or make money online niche is filled with solo ad sellers who actually have dedicated sales pages for their solo ad services, explaining how it works, their different pricing packages for a guaranteed number of clicks, marketing terminology for website visitors, as these people will be clicking your link in their email, and so on. A good directory for this is www.soloadsx.com. But other niches like weight loss aren't as knowledgeable about this method, so you may need to explain this to them, asking them something like this. Hi, I have a valuable offer your subscribers would like and benefit from, and I wondered if you'd be open to sending one email to your newsletter about it, and I'll pay you a reasonable amount of money before you send the email to do it. This way, the marketer thinks, one email and I get paid whether my people buy or not, I have nothing to lose. Then if they ask for more details, you can simply negotiate pricing to do so. There are also broker sites dedicated to solo ads for most niches outside of internet marketing, such as www.nextmark.com. For most niches, generally, you should be looking to pay between 30 cents to 60 cents per click, depending on the quality of the traffic. If it's going to be sent to an email list solely consisting of customers, you can expect to pay upwards of $1 per click, depending on how aware the marketer is of their list's true value. But, of course, your sales will be much higher as a result, so it works out in your favor. You may not know how much traffic, i.e. how many clicks, they can send beforehand. So, it's good practice to ask them how many clicks they get for each broadcast email on average, then negotiate the lowest price you can get from there. Once they agree, you can write an email promoting your stuff, or let them write it, it's up to you, then send it over to them with the payment. Then, it's just a matter of waiting until they send the email broadcast and analyzing the results. results. I used solo ads to grow my business from zero to around $5,000 net profits per month, after which I moved on to a different traffic method we'll talk about next. And during this time, I learned some important lessons. 1. Always ask about how the marketer's email list was built. Their subscribers should have actually opted in themselves, instead of being imported by the marketer without the subscriber's permission, and be emailed at least once per week to keep their responsiveness as high as possible. 2. You should test whether it works best to send people straight to your sales page or to your squeeze page. Some marketers won't be happy with sending their subscribers to a sales page for a paid product, so you'll be forced to have their traffic sent to your squeeze page, which is not a bad thing, as this allows you to build your audience while following up with the non-buyers too. But sending your traffic straight to the sales page will work better in some niches, and you'll make more sales sending people to free stuff via your squeeze page first in other niches. So, it's all about testing what works best for you, your niche, and your offer. 3. Always create a tracking link for the link you're promoting so you can see how many clicks you've gotten and ideally how many new subscribers and sales too. For example, www.bit.ly is a free service that allows you to see how many clicks you've gotten, but a tracking service like ClickMagic will allow you to track how many subscribers and sales as well. This way, you can track your subscribers and sales, then see a return on your investment to get the traffic in the first place. I'd recommend creating a separate tracking link for each solo ad seller, so you can see who is performing best. 4. If a solo ad seller gets you good results, go back to them for another round. Keep milking that ROI until it dries up, then go back to them a month or two later to do the same thing again. 5. Some more shady solo ad sellers will redirect their traffic from other places to your link, meaning those people have no idea why they've landed on your website, and your conversion rates are often rock bottom as a result. I usually ask if they are going to do this before placing my order, as I prefer my prospects to know exactly what they're getting before they visit my website, as the conversion rates throughout my profit process are always much higher this way. 6. It's usually good to keep a spreadsheet of the solo ad sellers you've ordered from, when they're going to be sending the traffic, how many clicks you've received so far, the opt-in rate from their traffic, the number of sales from their traffic, and so on. This helps to keep everything organized when you're buying from multiple people at the same time. Generally, solo ad traffic does work well, especially when you've built up a collection of solo ad sellers who always get good results for you, as you can just keep cycling through them. As I mentioned, I built my business from scratch to $5,000 net profit per month just using this traffic generation method alone. However, it took me a lot of sifting through different solo ad sellers to get to this point, as your results will vary massively from one seller to another. It's a risk worth taking if you're in this for the long run, but personally, I disliked having the same discussion over and over again with every solo ad seller as if I was living through the Groundhog Day movie, and also the long waiting times for the traffic to start coming in, only for half of your solo ads to end in a net loss. That's when I started investigating other paid traffic sources and focused on one method which I still use to this very day, PPC, or pay-per-click advertising networks. I use the term PPC loosely, as nowadays these networks have way more possibilities than just paying for clicks, but we'll leave that discussion for another time. So, let's call them advertising networks. The most popular of these advertising networks are Google Ads, Facebook Ads, and Bing Ads. There are bigger platforms like advertising.com, but for the beginner entrepreneur, these three networks are the best to start with. Bing Ads has the smallest learning curve of them all, but also the least amount of traffic. I also feel its display algorithm, i.e. its mechanism to show your ads to the right people, isn't as good as the other two networks too. However, if you're not able to use the other two networks for some reason, this is a good network to try out. But personally, because of Bing's small amount of traffic, I prefer to use the other two, Google Ads, previously known as Google AdWords, and Facebook Ads. It's pretty overwhelming to learn how to use both networks effectively and manage everything at the same time, so I'd recommend choosing just one of them to start with. My go-to for my own ads and new clients is always Facebook Ads, as this network always results in the best ROI and is typically easiest to master. Plus, you've most likely used Facebook before, so you'll probably already be familiar with how posts get displayed on there. So, that's what we'll be focusing on in this book, as that's where I can provide the most value from my millions of dollars spent on ads across my own campaigns and clients' campaigns. But before you do anything, you need to make sure your ads will be compliant with your chosen advertising network's guidelines, so your account doesn't get banned and leave you up the creek without a paddle. When I first started out, I was selling other people's products as an affiliate. The simplest solution is the best, I thought. So, I just copied and pasted my affiliate link for a hypey offer with a ton of claims into a Google AdWords ad. This was before they rebranded to Google Ads, and also before I knew that creating your own products was way more profitable, and waited for the commissions to roll in. At first, their automated system approved my ad. I was getting hundreds of people clicking my ad and checking out the offer. Yet, no sales whatsoever. Why is nobody buying? I thought, frustrated. Little did I know that this strategy was also against Google's advertising guidelines, due to the huge claims being made on the paid offer sales page. So, I got my account banned after it was reviewed by a human 3 days later, after spending hundreds of dollars with no sales to show for it. So, don't make the same mistake. I'm not saying you can't make any kind of claim, e.g. lose 30 pounds, make six figures, etc. in your offers, as most sales copy is in fact based around the results you can get for people. That's why people buy, because they want the results you promise. But what I am saying is that you have to be strategic in the way you advertise it. So, which page you send your traffic to depends on how compliant your niche and offer is with your chosen advertising network's policies and guidelines. This means you should read your chosen network's advertising guidelines from beginning to end before doing anything. Then revisit the parts of it you feel your sales page may be in violation of. If the sales page you'd like to promote is in violation of any one of the parts of the guidelines, worry not. Most experts will tell you to change your niche to something more compliant, but personally, I feel you should always follow your passion, whatever it is, and there are always ways to do that, as long as it's a legal topic, of course. So, in this case, you have two options. A. Create a separate version of your sales page which is compliant with the advertising network's guidelines, usually containing less or no claims, and generally being less hypey, and promote that instead. Or B. Send your traffic to your squeeze page for your free lead magnet, which of course then leads into your sales page after people opt in, as we discussed earlier in this book. Out of the two options, option B is usually easiest to start with, to be done while you work on option A. However, I do feel that option B is only a temporary solution and is pretty risky to do in the long term. For example, the Facebook ads policies really hate anything that's make money online, MLM, or business opportunities. Anytime you mention the phrase make money or work from home, you'll usually get your account banned right away. Plus, if you're in that niche, your sales pages will logically mention income claims and how the extra money is going to influence people's lives for the better, because that's what the customers in that niche are looking for. So, as a workaround, you'll need to send your traffic to a squeeze page which promotes a free product that isn't directly related to making money, but instead focuses on a smaller part of the whole system. A good way to decide this is to map out your ideal prospect's journey to their big end goal, and focus on just one of the steps required to get there. In my case, my online business niche is too similar to the make money online niche for Facebook's liking, even though it's more business-focused and way less scammy. So, for the last 6 years, I've had to send my advertisements to a squeeze page promoting a lead magnet called the 12 Profitable Niches to build an online business around, as choosing a profitable niche is a smaller part of the bigger goal to make a profit online. Logically, if they're interested in finding a niche for an online business, then they'll want to know how to make money with it. Problem solved. Side note, notice that it says online business, because if I'd have said to make money with, this is non-compliant, and I'd have had my account shut down by now. I know that because that's what I did, twice. Fortunately, I finally learned my lesson on my third try. Because the topic is about finding niches and not making money, it suddenly makes a non-compliant niche compliant, even though the pages after that may not be 100% compliant if I were to advertise them directly with Facebook ads. But if you're in a niche that is in fact 100% compliant with the paid traffic network's guidelines, e.g. meditation, survival skills, etc., and you don't make any outrageous or unrealistic claims, then you're good to start advertising with them. Again, to be 100% clear with this, every single word of copy on your sales page must be compliant with the advertising guidelines of your chosen traffic network. If it makes an unrealistic claim or talks about something in the policies that isn't allowed to be talked about, you're eventually going to get your account shut down, even if it's approved by their automated system initially. So, be sure to check this thoroughly, as the networks not only review your ad, but also the page you're sending traffic to, too. If everything is compliant, you would advertise your product, sending people directly to the sales page for it. Once you've identified which will be the best path for you, it's time to create your ad campaign. There are three main stages to getting your new ads account set up: initiation, track, and launch. Stage 1, initiation. This stage is all about laying the groundwork for your ads account to function, and fortunately only needs to be done once ever. Your first step is to create your Facebook ads account, which can be done by first creating a business manager account at https://business.facebook.com. Then, go into your business settings and creating an ad account. If you already have an ads account, you should link it to this new business manager account too, as it helps to minimize any red flags of suspicious activity within your account, which if left unchecked, can lead to an account suspension, for some weird reason. You should also create a Facebook page for your company, as this will be linked to your ads. I'd recommend creating the page around your personal brand, i.e. James Francis, rather than Digital Prosperity here, even if you're using company branding. This is because social media is all about people connecting with people, and ads ran from personal branded pages typically get better results than those ran from a company branded page. Yep, I've tested it. The only exception to this rule is if you're in a B2B market that requires company professionalism, but even then, feel free to test this for yourself if you're unsure. I know you're probably eager to get started, but there's one last piece of housekeeping before you start setting up your ads. Go to your business settings once again, then go to the section which contains your payment details, then add a payment method to your account. This is where your ad spend will be billed to, so make sure there are always enough funds in the account to avoid problems in the future. I'd recommend avoiding the PayPal option if presented with it, as this can lead to a whole host of information mismatches between your Facebook and PayPal accounts, which again can get your Facebook ads account shut down for suspicious activity, i.e. suspected fraud. Phew, now we can actually get started with setting up your ads campaign. Stage 2, track. Once you're inside your ads account, you'll need to open the top navigation menu and select the link to set up your advertising pixel. Currently, this is named as pixels in the measure and report column. However, Facebook are changing this all the time, so the wording doesn't matter. Just look for something that says pixels or similar if it's been moved. On that page, just name your pixel whatever you want, but naming it after your company would be a good idea. and copy and paste the tracking code you're given on every web page of your website. Fortunately, you only need to do this once, but doing so allows you to track the results from your ads instead of operating blindly based on the hand-selected stats that Facebook gives you. Next, I'd recommend going to Custom Audiences within the top navigation menu and creating the following three audiences with the following parameters. 1. Name, prospect, hyphen, visited squeeze page. URL to enter in the field contains the URL of your squeeze page. My explanation. Eventually, you'll want to show different ads to people who clicked on your ads for your lead magnet but didn't opt in. So setting this up now helps you to build up an audience to do this to be used in the future. 2. Name, lead, hyphen, name of lead magnet. Obviously change this accordingly. URL to enter in the field contains the URL of the page shown immediately after people sign up for your lead magnet, which should hopefully be the page which gives them what they signed up for, a short explanation about the limited time incentive to buy now rather than later, and the sales page for your front-end product below it. My explanation. Doing this will allow you to exclude this audience from any lead generation campaigns because you don't want to show ads about signing up to your free lead magnet to people who have already signed up for it. 3. Name, sale, hyphen, name of product. Again, obviously replace this accordingly. URL to enter in the field contains the URL of the page shown immediately after people purchase the product. My explanation. This allows you to exclude your buyers from your ad campaigns, as you don't want to show your ads about a paid product they've already bought. Be sure to do this for every product you're selling in your profit process and elsewhere on your website. There are many more audiences you can create, such as people who have visited your order form, people who have visited blog posts on specific topics, so you can show ads to them about products related to those topics, and much more. But let's keep it simple for now to avoid feeling overwhelmed. Next, you'll want to mimic these audiences within the custom conversion section of the top navigation menu. Literally copy them in exactly the same way with the exact same parameters. You'll just want to set the visited squeeze page custom conversion in the view content category, the lead custom conversion in the lead category, and the sale custom conversions in the purchase category, just so Facebook reports your data correctly. There are plenty more advanced ways of setting up this tracking, including having the currency converted automatically for you if the currency of your ads account is different from the currency in which your products are sold. If a new customer reloads the order confirmation page 3 times, it will normally report it as 3 sales instead of 1. But we can do some advanced coding to have the code only report back to Facebook 1 time per customer. Add somebody to a custom audience when they reach specific parts of your email follow-up sequence, so your ads can mimic the flow of that. Report a conversion after people spend a specific amount of time on the page, or when they click a specific button or link on your page, and a ton more cool yet nerdy stuff. However, I didn't intend this book to be about programming and coding, so I'll leave those advanced tracking methods for another time. Once you've set up your pixel, custom audiences, and custom conversions, what I like to call the conversion trifecta, you're free to start creating the ads themselves. Stage 3. Launch. Before you create your ad campaign, I'd recommend going through Facebook's help section, currently at www.facebook.com/business/help, to get you familiar with the Ads Manager interface, what the buttons do, and so on. Once you've done that, you'll know that Facebook Ads has 3 main levels of ad creation: campaign, ad set, and ad. Typically, I'll have 1 campaign for each offer I'm promoting, so this usually means we create just 1 campaign for a new client until they create more offers anyway. In most cases, you'll want to set this campaign's conversion objective, located in the settings for it, to conversions. Not traffic, but conversions, as that's primarily what you want. This tells Facebook's algorithm to prioritize showing your ads to people who have proven themselves to take action, instead of just clicking on the ads and closing the page right away. This alone will bump up your results compared to what most advertisers do. Inside this campaign, you'll want to create one ad set per audience you want to target. This allows you to get separate statistics for each ad and therefore each audience, so you can see which audiences are working well for you and which aren't, therefore allowing you to shut off the losers and scale the winners. But initially, create just one ad set, which you can duplicate later to save yourself a whole bunch of extra work. Within this ad set settings, you'll want to follow these 10 commandments, working down from the top. 1. If you're able to send your traffic straight to the sales page, set the website conversion event to the custom conversion you created for purchases of your front-end paid offer. Or, if you're forced to promote the squeeze page due to compliance issues on your sales page, set it to the lead custom conversion event you created. 2. Set the daily budget to a minimum of $10 per day, or 10 of whatever your currency is, e.g. 10 Great British Pounds. Anything less than this, and the advertising algorithm will have a hard time finding the right people for you, due to not having enough data to do that. I usually set this to $20 per day, as you can turn off the ads at any time if you need to. 3. In the custom audiences section, exclude all the sale custom conversions you created if you're sending traffic straight to the sales page, as you don't want to show ads to people who've already purchased. And also exclude the lead custom conversion you created if you're sending traffic to your squeeze page. Again, you don't want to be showing your ads to people who've already signed up for the thing you're showing them ads for. 4. I usually start by setting the locations as the Big Six: United States, United Kingdom, Ireland, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. You can then see which countries perform best when analysing the results of your ad after you start gaining some traction and take out the losers if necessary. 5. Same principle with the age setting. Initially, set it fairly broad at 25 to 65 plus. Then you can narrow down the age groups based on your results. 6. Same principle with the gender setting. Initially, set it to all, unless you're in a niche that is focused solely on one gender, e.g. helping female entrepreneurs. 7. Language is obvious. Set it to English, unless your website is primarily in another language, of course. 8. In the detailed targeting section, I usually start with just one interest that my ideal prospects would be following, which has above 500,000 people in it. Anything less than that, and you'll start running into issues with your ads getting saturated too quickly, and the algorithm will have a hard time finding a responsive audience for you. 9. In the placement section, I usually start with just Facebook newsfeed, as this is typically the easiest to make a positive ROI with. You can always expand it later. 10. Be sure to check the only when connected to Wi-Fi box for mobile devices, as people freak out if your high file size videos start playing on their data plan. Now, this isn't a be-all and end-all, it's just a basis to start your testing. That's because advertising is all about testing what works best for you, your company, your niche, your offer, and your audience. If you start out with the above, you can, and should, tweak your targeting settings based on the initial results you get from your ad. Within this ad set, I'd recommend creating 3 different variations of your ads. Try to make them as different as possible, as this way you'll increase your chances of the statistics being different to each other and finding a winning ad. So be creative. Once I've created the 3 ad variations, I'll usually go back to the ad set view and duplicate the ad set to have a total of 5 ad sets, each with a different interest I want to test. So, I have, and you should have, 5 ad sets, 3 ads in each, totaling 15 different combinations. Advanced tip. If you publish the three original ads first before duplicating them, you can get the ad ID number for each one, shown at the top when editing each specific ad. Then you can use this ad ID number when creating an ad in the Use Existing Post option. Just click the Enter Post ID link and paste it in the box. This allows your ads to retain their social proof, such as likes, shares, etc., across your different ad sets, instead of being reset to zero for each ad set. I'll usually start off by creating three text and image-based ads, then, once I find a winner, I'll create a video version of it and see whether the text or video version works better. From there, it's all about testing new ideas, checking the results, and repeating the process until your ads are generating a positive ROI. But for this to happen, you'll need to show all your statistics instead of just the hand-picked ones Facebook shows you by default. So, click in the Columns drop-down menu and select Performance and Clicks. Then do it again, but select Customize Columns. Again, the wording may change, so follow the same principle if this happens. From the huge list of additional statistics, I'll usually go to the Custom Conversion section in the left menu, then select the option to show sales of my front-end product, regardless of whether I'm sending traffic straight there or to your squeeze page first. I'd also recommend checking the box under Purchases, Value, to show the actual sales figures across all your products within your profit process. Hit the Save button and you're good to go. After doing this, go to the Columns menu again to save this setting as a default setting, saving you having to go through the same process every time you open up your Ads Manager. This gives you the full picture of your results instead of just a snapshot. However, all of these metrics can be fairly confusing to begin with, so I'd recommend hovering over the column titles to learn more about each one. But ideally, after 500 impressions, called reach in the table of statistics, your ad should have a minimum of the following: a 5% CTR all, a 1.5% CTR link, 8 out of 10 relevance score. If your ad isn't reaching these minimum numbers, then it's going to be tough to sustain your ads without costs increasing quickly and also make any kind of profit. But luckily, these numbers depend entirely on you and how compelling your ads are to people, which is a good thing because it means you can improve them by testing different variations of your ad. Some ads will reach way beyond these figures right out of the gate, whereas others will be way below. This is totally down to you and how good your ad campaign is. However, not everyone is going to buy straight away, so we can scoop up the people who don't take the action you want them to take with retargeting ads. This feature is in both Google Ads and Facebook Ads, and it allows you to show a different ad to people who've taken a desired action, like visiting a specific website URL, clicked a specific button on your website, and so on. This is known as retargeting. If you've been followed around the web by an ad after visiting a specific web page, then you've probably experienced this for yourself from the position of being their prospect. It can be annoying when done without much creativity and logical thought, but it's incredibly effective from a marketer standpoint when done correctly. Using this retargeting functionality, you should retarget those non-buyers by showing a different ad promoting your free lead magnet, i.e. your squeeze page, to people who visit your sales page but don't visit the order form to buy on their first visit. Think of it like this. Your primary ad sends people to your paid offer sales page, which takes them to the order form, which then takes them to the upsell process after their successful purchase. However, if they didn't visit the order form, or they did visit but didn't buy, they are shown a different ad promoting your free lead magnet, which takes them to your squeeze page for it, and subsequently the delivery page for it containing the limited time discount, also triggering the various email follow-up sequences. Within the Facebook Ads network, this is accomplished by creating a custom audience called something like prospects, visited sales page but didn't buy, then setting the rule as visited this URL, the URL of your sales page, didn't visit this URL, the URL of your first upsell. Obviously, replacing the URLs with your own URLs accordingly. then creating an ad with its audience set to this new custom audience with the previous rules applied. Advanced tip. We're not using the order confirmation page URL in the didn't visit part of the audience rules, as some people close the browser window before reaching the order confirmation page, and those people therefore wouldn't be included in the custom audience. So it's better to use the URL for the web page shown immediately after they become a customer, which should be the sales page for your first upsell. By focusing your ad campaign primarily on the sale rather than the lead, you'll be training the advertising network's algorithm, the machine which chooses which people see your ads, to only show your ads to people who have proven themselves to buy products, similar to your paid offer. This is super important, as every one of my clients' failing campaigns were getting traffic which has proven itself to opt in, but not to buy, and that was the reason they were failing. Think of it this way. If you're promoting a free lead magnet on a squeeze page, and you set that as the objective of your ad campaign, the algorithm is going to do its best to find people for you who have proven themselves to be good at signing up for free content, not necessarily buying products. Whereas if you set the objective to a purchase of a specific product, the algorithm will find you people most likely to purchase your product. That's why it's often best to send people straight to the sales page for your product if possible, as you'll be acquiring the highest quality traffic with proven buying intent. Then the people you retarget with your lead magnet will still be more predisposed to buying rather than setting the original objective as leads, i.e. people who are most likely to opt in for free stuff. However, this isn't always possible due to compliance reasons, so you'll need to choose which option works best for you here. To do this, you can create another ad set with no interest targeting, just including the audience of the people who've visited your squeeze page, but excluding your custom audiences containing your customers and leads. Then create an ad sending them to a different lead magnet, or use different ad copy that persuades them to sign up for the same lead magnet a second time around. Another method to boost your ROI is creating another ad set which includes a custom audience of people who have visited your sales page and excludes a custom audience of people who visited the order form and all the audiences of your customers. Then create an ad with different ad copy to generate enough of a desire within the prospect to actually start the order process. This ad can send people either directly to the same sales page as before, a different sales page with a different marketing angle or content format, or straight to the order form. For us, reminding people of the limited time discount often works best, but test it and see what works best for you. A final method I'd recommend using is creating another separate ad set which includes a custom audience of people who visited the order form but excludes the custom audiences containing your customers. Then simply write some ad copy going over some common objections to buying, sending them back to the order form. These three retargeting ads alone will boost your ROI by a noticeable amount when done correctly with the right copy. But your creativity is your only limit here, so feel free to test different ideas and see what gets you the best results. Following the process in this chapter will give you one main ad campaign to acquire new customers and another, your retargeting campaign, to scoop up the people who didn't take action the first time around. From here on, it's about focusing on this primary traffic method to improve your ads and profit process until you get a positive ROI. The first time you listen through this chapter, it may seem overwhelming to you with all the technical terminology if you're a self-confessed technophobe. So, I'd recommend re-listening to this chapter when you're at a computer or laptop and actually following along with it step by step. Then, if you still feel you need some help with this, feel free to contact us at support.digitalprosperity.com and we'll be happy to find either a Facebook Ads training program or done-for-you type solution that works best for you. Aside from Facebook Ads, it's also a good idea to have other traffic streams in place, especially when they generate a high ROI like the ones I'm about to reveal to you. Consider these traffic methods a way to capture the low-hanging fruit on the side. The first method you can add to your arsenal is to contact other product owners and see if they'd be willing to accept a flat monthly payment to have a small ad for your product sales page on their order confirmation page in a recommended products section or something similar. People who have just completed a purchase successfully and reached an order confirmation page are so much more likely to make another purchase compared to the people just sitting around on Facebook. This works especially well if you have some kind of free plus shipping type offer, where the product you're selling is free, but you're asking them to pay to have it shipped to them, e.g. a book like this one, or a small physical item costing you less than $10 to $15 in hard costs. Alternatively, a free trial for one of your best products works well too. This works so well because you can position the offer as a free bonus for them becoming a new customer, which tends to get more attention than, check out this other recommended offer that will cost you more money. But if the product owners aren't too keen on receiving a flat monthly fee for them doing this, they may be more responsive to selling your product as an affiliate there on the order confirmation page and in their customer follow-up sequence instead. Give them a large commission, hopefully 100% for the front-end offer, then 50% commissions on all the upsells. This is usually enough to incentivize people, as they think, 100% commissions? That's like having my own product. Then you make the profit from the upsells and future promotions to those customers you've acquired at no upfront cost to you. However, this does require you to have some kind of affiliate program set up and in place to accurately track and pay their commissions, which could take a few hours to set up, but would be more than worth it if you're receiving a trickle of sales every month on autopilot. Another method is to approach other product owners in your niche and ask them if they'd be willing to do a cross promotion with you. This essentially involves you promoting their product to your email list as an affiliate, then they do the same for your product. It can be at the same scheduled time or staggered to avoid any suspicion. It's up to you. However, like the above method, this does require you to have some kind of affiliate program set up and in place. Now you have plenty of methods to get traffic and customers for your website and products, you'll either be getting poor results or amazing results. Either way, your next step is to be optimizing your advertising and profit process to get the highest ROI possible.